21. Can't the CIA and the Navy solve this problem? Around 9 p.m. on October 3, 2006, seven ExxonMobil contract workers, four Scotsmen, a Romanian, a Malaysian, and an Indonesian, sat drinking in Nancy's Bar, a bush hut pub inside the oil corporation's walled compound in Ikete, Nigeria, in Akwa-Ibom State, on the eastern side of the Niger River Delta. The compound sat on a rise beside the wide, muddy Kwa River in downtown Ikete, a tumble-down town of market stalls, flop houses, water-streaked concrete buildings, and shacks with rusted corrugated metal roofs. Billboards, cell phone towers, palm trees, and church steeples protruded into the low skyline. Motorcycles and scooters poured out smoky exhaust as they swarmed like schools of fish through streets flanked by open drains. The stenciled names of small contracting businesses and places of worship, sometimes co-located, suggested the striving ambition of a faith-influenced oil hamlet. Divine Hands Ventures, Mount Zion Lighthouse, and Success World. Nancy, the pub owner, was upstairs cooking. She was the Nigerian wife of George McLean, one of the Scotsmen at the bar, a British Army veteran who had been settled in Ikete for a dozen years, employed by the ExxonMobil contractor Oceaneering International. The three other Britons, Paul Smith, Sandy Cruden, and Graham Buchan, were relative newcomers. They maintained cranes for Sparrows Offshore, which is based in Aberdeen, Scotland. About 300 expatriates lived on the Ikete compound, of whom about 50 were Americans. Their work supported one of the larger and more profitable oil and gas production operations in ExxonMobil's global portfolio. In recent months, the corporation had brought online two large floating offshore production platforms in Nigerian deep water. These platforms lifted ExxonMobil's production in Nigeria to a book 850,000 barrels per day, more than 15% of the corporation's worldwide total. High royalties and taxes limited profits, but Nigerian crude was of a high, sweet quality and commanded premium prices. The country's deep water beckoned with additional discoveries that might add to ExxonMobil's booked reserves. In a global oil system constrained by rising nationalism in Venezuela, Russia, and the Middle East, West Africa appeared to be a locus of abundant supplies available for the most part on free market terms. Automatic gunfire and pistol shots jolted the men at Nancy's. They heard shouts and cries at the ExxonMobil security gate. 18 young Nigerians burst into the bar. They wore headscarves and fired weapons in the air. They ordered African customers to lie down on the floor, and then they frog-marched the seven expatriates into the darkness. Two Nigerian security guards employed by ExxonMobil to protect the compound's perimeter lay dying outside. "Run," the kidnappers ordered. The prisoners jogged for about 5 minutes to a bridge, where two large speedboats stood ready. The armed boys loaded the foreigners aboard, and the engines roared. They weaved and raced for about 8 hours until they reached remote Delta swamplands. Within a day, the kidnappers had issued their ransom demands to Sparrow, offshore, and to the governor of Akwa-Ibom State, a Christian politician named Victor Atta, who was a relatively effective governor by the Niger Delta region's abysmal standards. The Delta suffered from what the writer Chinua Achebe called a culture of political godfatherism. The kidnappers demanded $10 million for the safe return of each of the four British ExxonMobil contract workers among the seven men abducted, or $40 million in total. The largest kidnapping in the corporation's history was underway. John Paul Chaplin oversaw ExxonMobil's operations in Nigeria. The corporation maintained a sizable presence, with offices in Abuja, the purpose-built capital in the center of the country, and Lagos, the commercial hub on the Atlantic coast, nearer the oil. Dozens of government affairs lobbyists, public relations specialists, security officers, and corporate intelligence collectors reported to Chaplin, along with the usual array of engineers, lawyers, and labor supervisors. Especially during the first years of his tenure in the country, Chaplin had taken a somewhat optimistic view of Nigeria's oil potential. "It's like the Gulf of Mexico in the 1970s, he told American diplomats privately. Nigeria's gas reserves offshore could turn out to be the largest in the world, Chaplin thought. For all of its corruption and flaws, Nigeria's government had a decent record, to date, of honoring contracts with the big oil corporations that fed the government so much revenue. The government favored Western corporations and resisted China. Nor had Nigeria's rulers resorted to the sort of manipulated nationalism and populism roiling Venezuela. The centrality of Nigerian booked reserves and production to ExxonMobil's corporate performance reflected the broader rise of West Africa as a critical oil supplier to the United States after 2000. Nigeria was on track to soon pass Venezuela as America's fourth largest supplier of oil, after Canada, Mexico, and Saudi Arabia. The corporation imported about the same amount in 2006 from Nigeria, Chad, Equatorial Guinea, and Angola as from the United States and Canada combined. All this provided ample reason, Chaplin thought, for ExxonMobil to try to continue to adapt to what was, admittedly, one of the world's roughest political and social environments among major producers. The corporation operated in joint venture with the Nigerian National Petroleum Corporation, and the NNPC was a mess, riddled with corruption and unable to keep up with necessary investments. When the government was not stealing outright, it operated at a hopelessly slow and inefficient pace. Bureaucratic approvals that might take 6 months elsewhere took twice as long in Nigeria. Civil and political unrest swept the country in waves. Even before the raid on Nancy's, Chaplin had found it increasingly difficult to persuade expatriate technical workers to come to Nigeria. If the problem of attracting talent worsened, it might threaten production.